Blog Talk Radio. this is Darlene Lewis. Welcome to another broadcast of Hear No Evil here on blogtalkradio.com, where we always welcome open discussions on topics of the day. As you know, Occupy Wall Street has just taken over the parks in New York, but there's now occupying Boston and occupying L.A., and pretty soon this new wave of protesters is going to be in every state until corporate America gets it right. But until then, you can give me a call, 347-989-0761. We're on every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about, are you dating an alcoholic? Are you the offspring of an alcoholic? Are you the result of being on alcoholic relapses? Give me a call. College students, coworkers, parents, lovers, and friends that you know are drinking on a regular basis. Are they sloppy in public? Do you feel that this alcoholic person is damaging your life, their lives, and the work environment? Call the show if you need help in dealing with a functional or non-functioning, in-denial alcoholic. Call me tonight. We're going to talk about alcoholism, and the reason why I talk about alcoholism is because I'm noticing from talking to a few artists, that a lot of these artists are intoxicated when they're creating work. Now, I know, you know, in the 60s, 50s, and 40s, a lot of artists depended on drugs, psychedelic drugs, like LSD, and they dropped acid. A lot of times they smoked angel dust, like in the 70s. And a lot of times, a lot of the rappers are saying they smoke a lot of weed, and that's how they get their creative juices. But then again, then there's some that are drinking alcohol in order to actually perform live. As of recently, Mary J. Blige revealed that she was drunk for years when she was performing. And a lot of us pretty much figured it out. She was wearing shades all the time. We just figured that maybe she just had a bad night and had bags under her eyes. But there's some frequently asked questions about alcoholism and alcohol abuse that a lot of people are not really familiar with. So I want to talk about that. Now, you may hear Puffy the Poodle, the star poodle that I have in the background. He is now with me in the studio. So don't be surprised if you hear him barking in the background. I want to talk to you about alcoholism. Is alcoholism inherited? You may ask, how can I get someone into a treatment who is unwilling to go for help? Answers to these and other frequently asked questions on alcohol and alcohol abuse I will try to provide within this short segment of broadcast. I hope the information will help you better understand how alcohol affects the body and what to do if you or someone you love has a problem with alcohol. Now, don't think that this information is intended to take the place of medical advice. But if you or someone close to you has a drinking problem, I encourage you to talk with your doctor or other health care provider. So you may say, what is alcoholism? Well, alcoholism, also known as alcohol dependence, is a disease that includes four symptoms. One, craving. A strong need or urge to drink. Two, loss of control, not being able to stop drinking once drinking has begun. Three, physical dependence, withdrawal symptoms such as nausea, sweating, shakiness, and anxiety after stopping drinking. And four, tolerance, the need to drink greater amounts of alcohol to get high. Now, alcoholism is a disease. The craving that an alcoholic feels for alcohol can be as strong as the need for food or water. An alcoholic will continue to drink despite serious family, health, or legal problems. Like many other diseases, alcoholism is chronic, meaning that it lasts a person's lifetime. It usually follows a predictable course, and it has symptoms. The risk for developing alcoholism is influenced both by a person's genes and by his or her lifestyle. Now, after doing some research of myself, I found out that the risk for developing alcoholism does indeed run in families. The genes a person inherits partially explain this pattern, but lifestyle is a major factor. Now, I know for a fact that researchers are working to discover the actual genes that put people at risk for alcoholism. Your friends, the amount of stress in your life, and how readily available alcohol is also are factors that may increase your risk for alcoholism. But remember, risk is not destiny. Just because alcoholism tends to run in families doesn't mean that a child of an alcoholic parent will automatically become an alcoholic too. Some people develop alcoholism even though no one in their family has a drinking problem. By the same token, not all children in alcoholic families get into trouble with alcohol. Knowing you are at risk is important, though, because then you can take steps to protect yourself from developing problems with alcohol. I know for a fact that alcoholism could run in the family because I have noticed several families that have alcoholics in them. And what happens is that when the person responds to various stress levels, in other words, let's say, for instance, I'll give you a perfect example. You could be a person that has a parent that drinks, right? In my case, I'll use me for an example. When my father came back from the war, I believe it was the Vietnam War, he used to have on top of his refrigerator empty bottles of Gordon's gin. And the gin bottles were so numerous that I decided that I did not want to ever drink gin because of that. Not only that, the smell of gin was a total turnoff to me. But when I did become an adult and started engaging in champagne and drinking, whenever I felt that feeling of euphoria, I would automatically stop because I never wanted to be put into that mindset of being an alcoholic, or I never wanted to get that drunk where I felt like I was not in control of my actions. However, there are families that drink together. You may have families of different cultures that will have a drink for lunch. They will have a drink at dinner. They will have a sip of wine while listening to music or watching TV or just having a family chat. 9 times out of 10, without even knowing it, if you're doing this on a daily basis, you are a functioning alcoholic. Also, it is really, really important that if you are an alcoholic or have alcoholic disease or have family members that have alcoholism in them from generation to generation, 9 times out of 10, you're going to wind up doing the same thing. But you may not crave it, but when you drink, alcohol may have the same effect on you in a different manner. You may want to drink just to see how drunk you can get. Then there are some people that drink so much, like I said before, that you build up this tolerance. When I realized that I was building up a tolerance to cognac, I stopped drinking it. there are a lot of people that do not have that type of willpower. And I want to, we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about people that meet people in clubs and parties and bars under the influence of alcohol, end up with them in sexual situations. The woman gets pregnant or finds out months or weeks later that she's pregnant, but she don't even remember the person that she slept with, or they don't even remember where each other lived. And so then you're stuck in a situation where do you have the child? And because you are in such a messed up situation, you continue to drink. Now, if you continue to drink alcohol when you are pregnant, the risk of kidney disease, liver disease, brain damage to the unborn child, and the child being addicted to alcohol is 100% going to happen. So think about it. When you go to the clubs, I know you want to have a good time. You may be celebrating your birthday. No matter what the celebration is, drink minimal amounts. If you have alcoholism in your family or if you don't have the willpower to slow down when you drink. Now, can alcoholism be cured? A lot of people want to know this. No. Alcoholism cannot be cured at this time. Even if an alcoholic hasn't been drinking for a long time, he or she can still suffer a relapse. So to guard yourself against a relapse, an alcoholic must continue to avoid all alcoholic beverages. Can alcoholism be treated? Yes. Alcoholism can be treated because alcohol treatment programs use both counseling and medication to help a person stop drinking. Most alcoholics need help to recover from their disease. With support and treatment, many people are able to stop drinking and rebuild their lives. To be honest, it took my father a long, long time to stop drinking at the capacity that he was drinking. But I remember for about 5 or 6 years, I remember my father always being drunk. Nice man, very, very funny, but when he was drunk, he was the craziest person. He would say the craziest things out of his mouth. He didn't care if it hurt you. And later on I found out because of the atrocities that took place in the Vietnam War and friends of his that he saw get blown up or came back with the limb missing, it affected him and so many other soldiers. So what they would do is drink. And in a way, I was kind of glad that he was not one of those soldiers that came back mentally disturbed or on some type of heroin, opium, and that the alcohol was, even though it's a very dangerous chemical, it was easier for him to go through withdrawal. And like I said, from like 1969, 68 to about 1975, my father was intoxicated at least 5 times out the week. How he was able to continue working is beyond me, but he was able to function as an alcoholic. And we're going to talk more about that in a few. condolences again. You know, every week I try to play something from the legends, and of course Ashford and Simpson, you know, have a serious place in my heart, and every time I hear that record, it just reminds me of my life as a young girl growing up in New York City, Harlem, Bronx, hanging out in all the boroughs, basically except Staten Island, and you know, walking down the streets and getting propositioned by the big time drug dealers, and so thank God I had a strong sense of self and a mother that I was afraid of, so I didn't go that street life route. Got my education, but to all my girls and guys out there that got caught up in that hustle mode, there's always another way to get out. It's not that easy, but you can make it. You can make it. So we're going to talk again about alcoholism. And there are some medications that has been used to treat alcoholism. One in particular, Valium and Librium, are sometimes used during the first days after a person stops drinking to help him or her safely withdraw from the alcohol. Now, these medications are not used beyond the first few days, however, because they make addictive cells. Other medications help people remain sober. One medication used for the purpose is called Naltrexone, Revia, its trademark. When combined with counseling, Naltrexone can reduce the craving for alcohol and help prevent a person from returning or relapsing to heavy drinking. Another medication, disulfiram antabuse, discourages drinking by making the person feel sick if he or she drinks alcohol. Though several medications help treat alcoholism, there is no magic bullet. In other words, no single medication is available that works in every case and or in every person, depending on the individual. And developing new and more effective medication to treat alcoholism remains a high priority for researchers. Does alcoholism treatment work? Now, this is a question people ask all the time. Alcoholism treatment works for many people, but just like any chronic disease, there are varying levels of success when it comes to treatment. Some people stop drinking and remain sober. Others have long periods of sobriety with bouts of relapse. And still, others cannot stop drinking for any length of time. With treatment, one thing is clear, however, the longer a person abstains from alcohol, the more likely he or she will be able to stay sober. Now, have you ever noticed that a person that you're talking to, their lips seem to be burnt or maybe very dark in some spaces and then other spots very pink, or they may go to the bathroom a lot, or they just seem like the alcohol is just coming through their pores, they're sweating all the time. When you see people going through that, you know for a fact they have a serious problem. But do you have to be an alcoholic to experience problems? No, because alcoholism is only one type of an alcohol problem. Alcohol abuse can be just as harmful. A person can abuse alcohol without actually being an alcoholic. That is, he or she may drink too much and too often, but still not be dependent on alcohol. Some of the problems linked to alcohol abuse include not being able to meet work, school, or family responsibilities, drunk driving arrests, and car crashes, and drinking-related medical conditions. Under some circumstances, even social or moderate drinking is dangerous. For example, when driving, during pregnancy, or when taking certain medications. Are specific groups of people more likely to have problems? This is a question that I always want to know about. Because alcohol abuse and alcoholism cut across gender, race, and nationality. Nearly 14 million people in the United States, one in every 13 adults, abuse alcohol or are alcoholic. Okay? So that means that if you see 13 people in a row, no matter what nationality, one of them is going to be an alcoholic. In general, though, more men than women are alcohol dependent or have alcohol problems. And alcohol problems are highest among young adults, ages 18 to 29, and lowest among adults age 65 and older. I also know that people who start drinking at an early age, for example, like 14 or younger, greatly increase the chance that they will develop alcohol problems at some point in their lives. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how you can tell if someone has a problem. Now, if any one of these problems exists, you can find out whether or not your loved one has a drinking problem. Have you ever felt you should cut down on your drinking? Have people annoyed you by criticizing your drinking? Have you ever felt bad or guilty about your drinking? Have you ever had a drink first thing in the morning to steady your nerves or to get rid of a hangover? One yes answer suggests a possible alcohol problem. More than one yes answer means it is highly likely that a problem exists. If you think that you or someone you know might have an alcohol problem, it is so important to see a doctor or other health care provider right away. They can help you determine if a drinking problem exists and plan the best course of action. Can a problem drinker simply cut down? Well, it depends. If that person has been diagnosed as an alcoholic, the answer is no. Alcoholics who try to cut down on drinking rarely succeed. Cutting out alcohol, that is, abstaining, is usually the best course for recovery. People who are not alcohol dependent but who have experienced alcohol-related problems may be able to limit the amount they drink. However, if they can't stay within these limits, they need to stop drinking altogether. Now, you may want to know what's a safe level of drinking. If an alcoholic is unwilling to get help, what can you do about it? This could be a challenge. An alcoholic can't be forced to get help except under certain circumstances, such as a violent incident that results in court-ordered treatment or a medical emergency. But you don't have to wait for someone to hit rock bottom to act. Many alcoholism treatment specialists suggest steps to help an alcoholic get treatment. Stop all cover-ups. Family members often make excuses to others or try to protect the alcoholic from the results of his or her drinking. It is important to stop covering up for the alcoholic so that he or she experiences the full consequences of drinking. So if they're vomiting all the time or spitting up all the time or if they're sluggish in their speech and you're in front of a lot of people, don't say, though, that they've been sick for a while. No. Just let the people know, yeah, my relative, my friend is drinking. They need to get their stuff together, okay? Time your intervention. The best time to talk to the drinker is shortly after an alcohol-related problem has occurred, like a serious family argument or an accident. Choose a time when he or she is sober. Both of you are fairly calm, and you have a chance to talk in private. Don't try to get them to stop drinking while they're drunk. Don't try to get them to stop drinking while you have their head under a cold shower. Don't try to get them to stop drinking while they're already drinking at the bar, because then it'll get violent, and you don't want to go through that. You want to wait till they calm down and they're a little sober, okay? Be specific. Tell the family member that you are worried about his or her drinking. Use examples of the ways in which the drinking has caused problems, including the most recent incident. When my father was drinking, he was very neglectful. You couldn't get a penny from him. He just was a mess. And he would be running the streets, and it was just a disaster. And so one day when I seen that he was calmed down, I'll never forget, I think I was like 15 years old, I just went off on him. And I think it may have affected him because shortly after that, I never saw him drunk again. So sometimes you just have to, like, let the person know, you know, that you're upset. I also had a cousin whose father was a diabetic. He was drinking all the time. I mean, he was always drunk, and I just couldn't understand how a person that is diabetic would drink alcohol knowing that that would increase the level of sugar in their body. I think that's suicidal. And it's just really strange that you may have some individuals who have parents or relatives that drink, and because of that will never, ever, ever, ever touch alcohol. State the results. Explain to the drinker what you will do if he or she doesn't go out. Not to punish the drinker, but to protect yourself from his or her problems. What you say may range from refusing to go with the person to any social activity where alcohol will be served, to moving out of the house. Do not make any threats you are not prepared to carry out. Please get help. Gather information in advance about treatment options in your community. If the person is willing to get help, call immediately for an appointment with a treatment counselor. Offer to go with the family member on the first visit to a treatment program and or an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. A lot of times, men and women go through a lot of domestic abuse when one of them is under the influence of alcohol. Tragedies can happen. You may argue with somebody at your job. You go out and drink to forget your problems. Then you come home, you take that anxiety and that anger out on your family members. You can get violent, something can happen. Your family member wind up dead or bleeding in the head or beat up, or you never know what you can what happens. And then when you come to, you realize that you did this under the influence of alcohol. So do try to get help. And I'm very serious, you guys. You know, sometimes we talk about relationships and politics and the music industry and corporate America and what's going on in the financial world and sex, but we really, really, really focus on physical dependencies like alcohol and drugs. So we need to talk about this more. And I'm going to try to talk about alcoholism in depth when I have a professional counselor come on the show and shed some light. Because like I said, I did a lot of research on this alcohol thing because I just noticed that there is an increase in a lot of alcohol drinking in the young entertainers that are being promoted, and that lifestyle is counterproductive because you have a lot of young people that are influenced by a lot of recording artists, and you see people like Sean Puffy Combs and Jermaine Dupri and Jay-Z endorsing alcohol, and their followers are like young kids. And so you have a lot of college students that are drinking, or you have a lot of regular kids just drinking, you know. Then lately, living in New York City and traveling a lot, I'm noticing that a lot of Mexican-Americans are drinking profusely, like just drinking. Now they're promoting this cheap beer, so they're drinking and they're just falling out in the parks, and they're just, not saying that they're the only ones, but I'm seeing a great increase in Mexican-Americans drinking and being influenced by what they see on TV, along with a lot of young people who are impressionable. So you may want to check your children, make sure that they're not overindulging in intoxicating substances, and at the same time, you don't want to cause a gap with the relationship. You want them to talk to you if they have problems, because a lot of people turn to alcohol to forget. But you never know. That alcohol can make the problem worse than what it is. And then you look around and you won't have nobody in your life because you've turned everybody off. So I want you to really, really think about that and try to get some help. And we're going to end the show with a lot of good music. We don't have any callers calling, man. A lot of emails. But while I got you on the air, I'm working on this campaign called Save Our Seas, as I always talk about, trying to curb the gang violence and the gun violence and getting the guns out of the hands of our youth. So I'm looking forward to have you join in to be a part of the public service announcements that we are creating so that we can get the word out. And also, if you know of individuals that are carrying guns, you can always call the local police. You know, you don't even have to give your real name or whatever. And we also are still casting for the documentary and reality program, Deadbeat, where we will help people find their parents. We will have parents locate and help them locate deadbeat parents. And it's a good program that we thought of, and hopefully you will be a part of that. Also, you can get my book, Deadbeat, Take Care of Your Damn Kids, at lulu.com/Darlene Lewis. That's lulu.com/Darlene Lewis. And you can also get my books on Amazon.com, and I found out that my books are now available in French and Spanish, and also available in the United Kingdom. So I'm very happy about Amazon reaching out internationally and translating my books in those languages. I really appreciate that. And hopefully you are checking out our TV program, which is weekly on Channel 56, Time Warner Channel 56, RCN Cable Channel 83, Files on 34, and at the same time, Wednesdays at 6:30 on www.mnn.org. Click on Channel 2 for the Lifestyle Channel to see Celebrity Showcase. We are offering small businesses, artists, individuals, promoters, writers an opportunity to have their music played and from their businesses promoted on our radio show and on our radio site for $100 a month. And if you commit to 2 months, we will automatically give you television exposure. So if you are interested in doing this, you can give us a shout-out at futurenetworkproductions.com. That is futurenetworkproductions.com. Just click on the radio link, follow the instructions, send your information. If you don't have a logo or a banner, we'll create that one for you. Don't worry about it. It's all good. It's all about promotions and marketing. And hopefully you will take advantage of our advertising and promotional opportunities. And until then, enjoy the good music. Thank you.
Have lots of fancy clothes and drive a big fine Cadillac, not knowing all the time I had these things. My friends would snap me straight in my back. No, 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 even had a house out there in Beverly Hills. I was moving so fast though, I didn't even have time to worry about paying my bills. Have lots of money. I have been big on stock. I used to lend them my clothes, but they never, never, ever, never, never brought them back.
Now I don't have nothing.
I'm so old,
even have a home.
I ain't got no place to lay my head.
I'm looking for.
And you. I remember when you used to say that. Dedicated spare time. And I used to come out of the bottom of my heart. Because I thought you were a friend of mine.